We are reading this morning from the 6th canto, chapter 11, and it is this time text 26. We are reading the prayers of Vritasura, who in actuality is a great devotee of the Lord. I would, because this is a very important lecture today for our understanding, I would like to give you a little frame, so to say, a contextual frame, which will help you to understand it more clear. We are obviously entering into a picture here, provided by the Vedic tradition, that here is Vritasura, who appears to be in one way, but actually is in another way. Vritasura in this picture happens to be a demon. Why? Well, he's a cursed devotee, Maharaj Shitra Ketu, who took on this demoniac form. This picture cannot be translated one-to-one to our situation. You are not demons. No one of you is a demon. Absolutely not. You are very nice people from a very good background and so on. That is not what I intend to say, but what we all are divided souls or divided selves. The word divided soul is not an entirely philosophical term, because we know from the Gita that the soul cannot be cut into pieces, cannot be divided like a piece of bread, for instance. No, with divided self we mean more the dilemma in which an aspiring devotee, or let us say a devotee on the path of sadhana, finds himself, that he is intending to go in one direction, but his material conditioning, the mind and the senses and the karma also, which is accumulated, pulls him in another direction. Yes, so I do not wish to say that anyone leaves this room and says, oh, I'm a demon. This would be a wrong conclusion. We are conditioned souls. I remember when I had, when I was young, I auctioned my first bicycle. It was a red bicycle. I paid for it the equivalent of 5 euros. It was a Schnäppchen, as we say in German, a very good purchase. And I was very proud. I remembered bicycling or cycling from the place of auction to part of Hamburg, where I lived. And when I arrived in our home part, I was so proud that I wanted my friends to see me on my auctioned bicycle, that I raised the hand in a gesture of Caesar driving after a major victory into Rome. And I found out that my bicycle was not acting in my interest. It all of a sudden pulled towards the right, without any forewarning, and there I was lying in the gutter. You know, because as I found out, my bicycle, although it had a good appearance, had a technical mistake. It always used to pull over to the right side. Do you know such bicycles? They have something maybe in the fork. There's some slight income, maybe if there was an accident, and they always, you know, you want to go in one direction, but they always go in another direction. So this would be a good analogy of what I mean. We are all driving on a body and a mind, and it has an inclination which pulls us in an almost embarrassing way to the material side, and therefore we can be called divided self. We want one thing, but our bicycle, our vehicle, or our bodies and minds have an attraction to go in the other way, and it can create a major accident. At least for me, I wanted to come in like Caesar, and I it looked so embarrassing, you know, to fall off a bicycle when you are 10 years old. It's really the greatest defeat you can imagine. Okay, so having said this much, we will now dive again into the picture, and we will hear a very important text, a prayer of Vitrasura. Ajata paksha iva mataram kaga. Ka means sky and ga means to walk. Who walks in the sky? A bird. Stanyam yata vatsata rakshurakta. Priyam priyeva vyusitam vishana manoravindaksha didikshate tvam. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings always look for their mother to return and feed them, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. As small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. As a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. There's a purport. A pure devotee always yearns to associate personally with the Lord and render service unto him. The examples given in this regard are most appropriate. Prabhupada goes now through the three examples which have been given. A small baby bird is practically never satisfied except when the mother bird comes to feed it. A small calf is not satisfied unless allowed to suck the milk from the mother's udder. And a chaste, devoted wife whose husband is away from home is never satisfied until she has the association of her beloved husband. By the way, this, when we raise our hands like this, it is a sign of a child who appeals for mercy. When the child is feeling the absence of his father and mother and wants to be taken close on the arms, it will raise the arms like this, the hands. This is how in Kirtan, this is a sign of, if you raise this the arms, it's a sign, a gesture to the Lord to come and pick you up. You know what a child does when the parents don't pick it up? It rolls on the ground. This is also allowed to do in Kirtan, but we have not yet introduced this on a regular basis because maybe it would get out of I don't know, but when there is enough space, maybe. And in Mayapur we do it, but the Bengalis do it. But maybe we would exaggerate with our Western or Western infiltrated minds. And then I'm not recommending this. I'm just saying this is what in the shastras on kirtan, it's advised to raise the hands, and then the other acceleration is also there. Good. So this is a very moving text, actually. It shows increasing degrees of eagerness. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in Bhagavad Archamarichimala that this verse is to be chanted by someone who wants to chant Hare Krishna. Because you can chant Hare Krishna only with a certain amount of eagerness, an affectionate longing for the Lord. Then this chanting will come. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even says that chanting means to chant the mantra with tears in your eyes, longing, wanting. You know, you saw today our little Ramachandra. Imagine the child will start to cry. Then, the mother and Naveen Krishna Prabhu are ready to do anything to help the little boy in his dilemma, whatever it is. So, to cry in eagerness is a very good method to invoke the mercy of Krishna. And these 3 degrees of eagerness are here described with examples. The first is the baby bird who calls for the mother in the nest. Have you ever heard them? It's impressive. Then they open their little beaks, and all you see from that moment on is a mouth. It's so big, and they are really almost coming to the edge of the nest. You have to almost warn them, don't go further, stay there, mother will come, don't worry, and so on. The second degree of eagerness, where it is increased, are small calves tied with ropes. Sina Singha Deva Ki Jai. The small calves will eagerly yearn to have the to drink milk from the udders of the cow. In Braj you can sometimes see this. The mother is close by, and then the calf is brought quite close also, not so close, maybe 2 meters, and the calf is now very eager. It's bound with ropes to drink the milk of the mother, and he is really moving forward and putting all his weight in the rope. This is done by the farmer to invoke the motherly affection in the cow, who then will release somehow the milk ventils, and it will start to accumulate so that the farmer can easily milk it. It's also very pleasant for the cow to then get the free of the accumulated milk, and in the end, when there's something left for the calf, then the farmer will bring the little calf. This is a little bit more eager than the bird. Why? The bird is not in the nest, and it just waits there. But the calf makes a forward movement in the direction of the cow. It moves, actually, whereas the bird, due to his limitation in the nest, is stationary and remains stationary. But no, he has an active movement towards the beloved scene. And the third example is adding even more to the eagerness. It's the chaste wife who has suffered in the absence of her beloved husband. She has not dressed, actually, in a very decorative way, but has just been waiting in the house. When will my husband come from the distant area? Once she received the news, whoa, she will have a whole transformation. She will put on earrings and fine dresses. She might take arrange her hair, and then she moves forward with eyes of love, and ready to serve her husband in all ways, cooking. She put the rooms tidy, and she might have prepared the swing. That's in Indian households, at least it used to be the case. I heard this from the introduction of Chaitanya, of teachings of Lord Chaitanya, so that he will swing to get rid of the tiredness. They will then engage in pleasant conversations and so on. There's more or less an active service idea in the third example there. So in these ways, Vritasura expresses his desire to yearn for the opportunity to render direct service to his beloved Krishna. It's an example. And if you can chant like this in your japa, I find it very... First, you are in the bird mood, where you feel you need the presence. Then you go in the calf mood, you know, moving forward in intensity, and then you come in the service mood, where you wish to actually serve the Lord. That is very suitable for concentrating your mind and entering into a loving mood while chanting, and not and coming out of this dreaded automatic mechanic, machine-like chanting mood. That's very useful, this verse. You can find it, again, for those who take notes, in the 6th canto, chapter 11, text 26. By the way, I really would recommend to you, when you are back in London and you have more time, to go over these very, very deep prayers of actually Maharaj Chitra Ketu, who pours out his heart while he is still in a conditioned body, the body of a monster, the body of Vritasura. It's very suitable for you, our spiritual life. So, divided self. My dear divided selves, please listen carefully. As long as we are in the material body and we have these conditional drives, we will be sometimes embarrassed. Yesterday, when we had the Only for Boys session, we were talking about a subject. It will remain a secret here because now we have the full audience here. But we talked about a subject, and those who were present, please remember our subject. How sometimes we can become overwhelmed by certain feelings and desires which are not favorable and which actually weaken us on our way. First they turn us into idiots, and then they weaken us, really. And we had an experiment where I think all of us, at least I was flabbergasted to actually see, you know, Heaton going in the second, becoming in the second experiment as weak as a 2.5-year-old baby. Yes. I was flabbergasted to see this. So here now, we will talk a little bit about these things which drive us away from Krishna consciousness. There is a devotee prayer. It appears for those of you who take notes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 16. It's a very good prayer for a devotee who feels his conditioned self driving him in one direction away from the path. The prayer goes like this: Kamadinam katina katita palita dunideshas tesham jatamaina karunana trapanopashanti usrityaitamataya dupate sampratam lapta buddhis. I don't have the correct melody, I'm sorry. Tvam ajata sharanam abhayamang niyong shvatmatas. No, it doesn't work out, it's a different melody. Anyways, here comes the text. Oh my Lord! It's a verse presented in great personal embarrassment. There is no limit to the unwanted orders of lusty desires, although I have rendered them so much service, they have not shown any mercy to me. I have not even been ashamed to serve my desires, nor have I even desired to give them up. Oh my Lord, O head of the Yadu dynasty, recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened, and now I'm giving them up. Due to transcendental intelligence, I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires, and I now come to you to surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me. Let us please repeat this last phrase. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me. Yes, save me, yes, that's very important. This is the first help for the divided self. The awakening of transcendental intelligence. And I would really like to read to you something from Srila Prabhupada's discussions with a guest. I really pray to Krishna that I find this quickly. Yes, here it is. Well, this is Lord Nrisimhadev's special mercy. So there is a guest. He asked a question to Prabhupada. They sit together, maybe in Bhaktivedanta manner. No, sorry, it's from Boston. It's from Boston. The guest asked our question. Now, what is the situation of an individual who is double-minded and split, who is perhaps convinced intellectually, okay, but nonetheless is torn by very deep emotions and distractions, very deeply sung in Maya. Can you relate to this? You are too embarrassed to say yes, but I think we can. Are there ways of dealing with this kind of problem? Do we have to force him? Or is there some, you know, once a devotee try to force a taxi driver to surrender to Krishna, the taxi driver said, "There is no God, you know. I don't, and also I don't need any help. You know, I'm strong enough to do it alone." The devotee had just purchased new knives for the kitchen. This was in the old time. He handed in his how do you say this, a bag of purchases. He took a particularly suited knife for this experiment. And he just went like, "What do you want to do?" said the taxi driver. "Kill you, of course." "Help! Help! 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 please, if there's someone to help me, help. The devotee took the knife away. The taxi driver pulled over to the right side. That was a good lesson. Thank you very much. Don't do it again. When there's danger, a person calls out for help. In the Second World War, a slogan was developed by the soldiers. It said, "Is it a war trench? Do you all know what a war trench is?" In the war trench, there is no atheist. That is the Schlucker of the German soldiers. Im Schützengraben gibt es keinen Atheisten. That's the Schlucker. It's the truth. When there is existential fear, we turn to help. We are made like this. So the guest asked, do we have to force him to surrender or what? Prabhupada says, appeals now to the buddhi, to the awakening of intelligence, which is described in this, in that verse with Kamalini. He said, first of all, you have to understand that this material life means birth, death, old age and disease. Just try to understand. Yesterday we heard the news that the grandmother of Chirag and his sister, I do not know her name, Priya, Chirag told me, has left in the morning the body, and that's a and I looked in Chirag's eyes as we talked about this, and there was a deep sense of hopelessness in the eyes, or sadness, because please understand, this is the world we have entered. Every one of you, even young Yuvraj, has to die, and we will cry when this happens. So Prabhupada now appeals to the intelligence of this guest. Do you like repeated birth? Do you like repeated death? Do you like it? The guest tries to escape Prabhupada's logic. I have to work. It seems he says goodbye, it gets too intense for him. He asked a question, but now Prabhupada zeroes in on him. Prabhupada doesn't let him go. Do you like it? First of all, answer, do you like it? Srila Prabhupada is taking his surgical instruments out now. The guest, no. Prabhupada, answer my question. Do you like old age? Now you are all young. You don't know what it means to become old. I know it. I'm above 50 and my gums retreat. Eating is painful. The tooth becomes so sensitive and you can run to the dentist. There's nothing he can do against it. You develop here a problem, there a problem. Krishna, do you like old age? The guest says, no. Prabhupada, do you like disease? Oh no, says guest number one. This was our guest number two who asked this question. Another guest is getting shocked. So Prabhupada, that is material life. As soon as we get this body, there's birth, there's death, there's old age, and there is disease. Therefore, listen to this conclusion. If you want real happiness, then you have to get free from all these four factors of miserable life. And that is spiritual life. So if you want the real life, then you have to follow the process that is being discussed here. Tapodivyam putrakayena shudyat. It's the verse 5:5:3, fifth canto, fifth chapter, verse number 3. There it is said how you can attain the transcendental position. It's you have to purify the heart. The heart has to, or in the context of our discussion here, the heart has to become whole, no divided self any longer. This is the solution. So, by the strength of buddhi and by the strength of the mind, you should go into these things. Don't we all know when there is some misery in our lives, how sincere we become? Look at Chirag now. He's so sincere in his expression and his motives, because that misery is in one sense calling us back to what we know. It calls us into the awareness that we are in the wrong place here, that we are in the material world. Hare Krishna. But unfortunately, it's not always easy to awaken transcendental intelligence. I remember how I was reacting when I read in Prabhupada's works about the miseries of a material life. And I was saying, I was young, from an affluent family, I could fulfill each single one of my material desires. The money was available. And I was thinking, miseries? These are not miseries. I mean, when you are diseased, you go to the doctor. Death, yes, I heard some people die. But this is a minority. I mean, I don't think about death at this moment of my life. Old age, yes. We had a slogan in our youth. I will not repeat it, it's so ignorant, it will pollute the atmosphere. Now, I know very much, it appeals to me very much when I read this, and I become very enthusiastic to turn to bhakti as the use the human form of life as the escape door into the spiritual world. I become very motivated to use this escape door. But that is after 33 or 30, I don't know how many years now, in bhakti yoga and reading Prabhupada, and even in my stubborn mind, some understanding for these things is now there. I would like to make a little experiment with all of you to help you understand where you are presently in terms of cooperation of your mind and intelligence. For this experiment, we need to open the windows wide. Maybe you two Matajis can do this, because we will do a little meditation now, which is risky in a Hare Krishna temple before breakfast, because sometimes devotees fall asleep. But we will help you to not do this. It will be a meditation from the yoga practice of the yogis who sit in their caves. Sandipan Krishna Prabhu, you might open it wide, the window. It will be, it is not too cold for our Matajis who sit so close? No? We have danced in the morning, we are, no problem. So this will become now very intense, my dear devotees. Listen very carefully, because you need to find out what this is about. We want to find out now. The window was closed by itself. Vandana, you have to put maybe some chatter or something in between. Yes, so that it does not close, because we need the fresh air. Now, yes, the window is like our conditioned nature going through. Maybe, Madhavananda, you can just go outside, the Bavarian talk is out there, and tell the people, we are just meditating for only 2 more minutes and then the lecture is closed. We need an absolutely free, disturbance-free environment. You know, I heard the bus driver talking in Bavarian outside. What we want to do is, we are discussing the subject of the divided self, this embarrassing thing that, yes, we want so much Krishna consciousness, but we find this other nature in us, almost our private Mr. Hyde, who's hiding in our mind and our intelligence, and we do not really understand, we are in a dilemma. And I want you all now to face your own mind and ask him a question. Now to do this, I will enter with you a state of a meditative state. These will be different signals which you will hear. I will guide you to your external consciousness with this. By the way, I don't think that anyone will be immediately driving off. Oh, you even have some meditational music which will aid our meditation. Yes, that's a good idea. So please sit straight in the beginning. How to sit straight? Well, you can imagine that there is a rope which pulls you upwards. Try to put the knees down as comfortable as you can, because then it's easier for you. When you're ready, close your eyes. We will now try to experience the feeling of weight, gravitation. Start with your feet and your thighs. Let them become as heavy as they want. You can trust in Mother Earth's ability to hold you. For the moment, you do not require to carry anything of your body. Move upwards to your torso, up to the shoulders, and surrender into the feeling of weight. Go to your shoulders and arms now and surrender them. That means relax. All this time remain very alert in your mind. Just relax your bodies. Now please move upwards to your head. While keeping the head in the erect straight position, just surrender its weight, especially the 2,500 little muscles which are there in your face and which always work to make you smile or make your expressions. You can now all relax them. Just meditate for a moment about weight, gravitation. Wherever you carry still some weight, just relax that and surrender whatever it is, your arms. Make sure that there is no tension in your body at any place. Maybe you would like to move in your mind from the head downwards to the shoulders. Oh, they're not really relaxed. You can let them hang more. To your torso or upper body, let it relax. To the place where you sit and touch the earth, let it relax. Thank you. We are now ready to go on into an experience. Become aware of your breathing, please. Become aware of the ingoing and outgoing breath. Try to increase the depths of your breathing by consciously breathing into your belly area or your stomach area. Imagine the air is like a stream of golden light which goes downwards and fills you with oxygen. Don't do forced breathing, do deep breathing, as deep as it naturally comes. And stay with your attention with the breath. Notice as it goes in and out. Become an observer of your breath. Now we have become ready for the experiment. You will have a meeting now. A meeting with your mind. Imagine you sit somewhere in a peaceful room. The walls are there. See the walls of the room. There's one chair and you sit down on it. And opposite to where you sit, there's another chair. Now invite your mind, your own mind, to sit on this chair. Give your mind a form, a body. Maybe he looks like an elderly woman who often laments. Maybe he looks like a tough businessman dressed in dark blue business attire. Maybe he looks friendly, a little amused. Is he an Indian? Even if you cannot picture the mind, ask the mind a question. And then, as you have asked the question, listen to what the mind responds. It will respond. Just ask the question with very deep sincerity. a question is this. My dear mind, do you wish to be my friend? Please ask this question in your own voice, in your inner voice. My dear mind, do you wish to be my friend? And now listen. Listen to the answer. Slowly return to breath awareness. And now slowly return to your body. Again, go with your inner eye to your thighs, to your torso, your head, and please rub your hands. Bring them before your eyes as if you are closing your eyes. Yes, put them on your eyes, please, on your closed eyes. And while you're bringing your hands away from your eyes, open your eyes, look in your hands, and then come back to room awareness. A different energy in the room. Very peaceful. Has anyone heard his mind or her mind giving an answer? No? Yes? Silence. I think, Devesh, you heard your mind. Is it too private to reveal it in public? Or can't remember anything. My mind said, I want to, but you won't let me. That's very familiar. The Dayagoranga. The mind said, yes, 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 yes. Did you trust him? Anyone else? This is very common, what our devotee said. Yes, but we have to work on a few things first. That's, by the way, the first time I did it, that's what my mind says. Yes. Sachinandan Swami, but you are so impossible to me. You are not like my friend. You are always... I will talk another time with you. Goodbye. This is how my mind went. Yes, Tulsi? Tulsi has another experience that my mind seemed friendly and cooperative and it seemed to want to be my friend, but I was cautious. I didn't trust it. Usually, when you do this the first time, don't be disappointed if your mind is just dead silent and thinks, when do I get out of it and can eat prasadam, please? This is over, this torture. When you're not used to this, it does happen. Because it's an unusual experience. But usually the mind says yes, but there's some but. Either you don't trust it, or the mind demands something. And in my next lecture, I will speak about this but. Yes, says our conditioned nature, I could surrender fully, I could do what you want to be and assist you to become a pure devotee and surrender now. But we have to look at a few things first, and that is what we do in the next lecture. I'm surprised. Usually this lecture is one lecture what I'm giving, but being inspired by your I guess attention or your focus, I go a little bit more thorough with you. So the next lecture which I will hold on the divided self will be the solution. I wanted to, that's what I promised last time, come to the solution now, but I have explored the subject more in this lecture. Now we will come the next time to the solution. I want to thank you very much. I'm sorry that I again went a little over time, but we will end now. You will have to take a quick breakfast. Actually, would you stay first here? Yuvaraj will give us an orientation what we will do. Let's just call out. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Prahlad Narsingha Deva ki, Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.